Well, do you hate office birthdays as much as Elaine Benes from Seinfeld did?
What is so bad about having a little piece of cake?
It is the forced socializing. I mean, just because we work in the same office, why do we have to act like we're friends?
Why aren't you there now?
I had to take a sick day. I'm so sick of these people.
Yeah, it's very triggering, isn't it? Well, you're not alone. Get this. A man in the United States has taken his former employer to court after the company disregarded his wish not to be given a birthday party. Do you want to know how much he won in the payout? $500,000 in damages. Just over a birthday cake. Nice work if you can get it. And now that people are starting to return back to the office in droves, I'm keen to get your thoughts about this tradition and how the workplace is attempting to re-socialise, reintegrate us from the pandemic. Do you embrace any chance to crack open the Woolies mud cake with your colleagues at work now? Or are lunchroom gatherings the bane of your existence? Maybe you're just out of practice and you've forgotten how to be nice to your colleagues. Maybe you've witnessed a celebration that has gone awry. Maybe someone ended up wearing the cake. Love to hear from you. 0418-226-576, or you can tweet me at rndrive. Organisational psychologist Dr. Amanda Ferguson is here to join the conversation. Dr. Ferguson, what is it about workplace celebrations that seem to trigger such strong reactions?
Hi, Andy. Look, a lot of what you just mentioned, as well as the fact that we've all changed since these massive lockdowns, pandemic, you can't get through this without changing as individuals. And so organisations are going to have to change as well. And soft skills, the very things you were talking about that we were encouraging managers before the pandemic, and now managers were thrust into this situation where suddenly soft skills have become so important.
Most companies don't sort of have formal practices or policies on office birthday recognition, as an example, but maybe that is an area where they should, so that everyone knows where they stand, especially as we take off the UGG boots and come back into the office and remember these soft skills that you're talking about.
Well, they may need to. What we're finding and we're discussing avidly as organisational psychologists is we don't know, because the world has changed. The world of work is still changing. As you said, people are still in some cases returning to office and in other cases pushing back. So we've got this hybrid way of working now, which we know as org psychs is here to stay. But if an organisation insists on going back to these procedures we had before the pandemic, such as maybe birthday celebrations and things like that, without really engaging the workers anew, because they are new workers in many ways, it's got to be a new organisation. So is that a valid policy moving forward? We need learning organisations that are pivoting, just as we all had to pivot.
Ah, good. I knew that we would say pivot eventually. I thought it would be me. I'm glad it was you. Over the pandemic, though, I mean, the separation between work life and home life became non-existent, really, didn't it? Because you're always on Zoom. You saw your boss's cat. You saw your boss's children in the background. But but people are now craving that return to a sense of anonymity again, aren't they? That professionalism almost that we were missing during the pandemic.
Sure, there's a big cohort that is, but then there's also another cohort that's saying, look, I'm used to this now. It's working well for me, this work-life balance that I've got. I've got more values, more connection with my real values. I've got more in touch with them. My home life matters more. I can raise the kids more easily, and I'm missing out on that terrible drive and commute. It works better for me. And so, again, it's the organisations that have really pulsed their individuals through engagement surveys throughout the last couple of years, kept up with them and what's working, and become nuanced. And that's the big term we found coming out of the pandemic, that managers suddenly, again, had to develop this whole new skill set of nuanced management, managing of, yeah, how is your cat, you know? And how's Freddie? Is he well now? And remember these people as people, because people want to be valued as people now. They want to be seen as people and not workers. And the job psychological contract, we know, in many organisations, not all, but in many, has changed in favour of the worker.
I'm Andy Park on RN Drive. To celebrate or not to celebrate, we're here with organisational psychologist Dr. Amanda Ferguson, talking about the peaks and pitfalls of office birthday parties, amongst other things that we have to return to. Well, maybe we don't have to return to, but are part of what was pre-pandemic office life. I'm curious to ask you about what enticements organisations are now offering employees to return to the office, because, you know, dress down Fridays don't really have the same appeal anymore, and a lot of the perks that used to exist for employers to bring their employees to work don't really cut it anymore, do they?
That's exactly it. And traditionally, you know, since I've been an org site, we've seen organisations think that they come up with the perks for the employees and find that they didn't really make any difference. It was a nice thing to learn to cook or, you know, learn to do yoga, but the employee may not actually have really wanted that. They may really have wanted a bit more flex time, ability to go off to a dance lesson, their own dance lesson, not within the organisation. Because we know that people actually need time away from work, from the organisation, to recharge and avoid burnout. So again, it's the relationship between the individual worker, the employees and the organisation, that if it's a good one, you've got a good culture. If it's a bad one and the organisation's insisting on perks that they think will boost morale and not really engaging the employees and who they are now, what perks they want now, then you'd have a toxic and unhealthy culture. But this is the opportunity for organisations to pivot.
Yeah, I never actually understood why the enticement of sweating, doing exercise with your colleagues exist in the first place. You don't want to see your colleagues in yoga wear. I mean, I never understood that. Maybe it wasn't designed for me. On the text line 0418226576, Dave says, being empathetic is being empathetic a soft skill or just generally more productive and professional? It's a great question, really, because we have changed and the right employer skills have changed along with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Empathetic is a soft skill. It's emotional intelligence. And again, workers, we found during the pandemic when we did engagement surveys, it's the ones who received the so-called maybe perks that we're talking about of being communicated to directly, being respected, being trusted, being included, being listened to and feeling safe psychologically, and your emotional engagement there, your empathy is going to really talk to that psychological safety for the employee.
Well, thanks so much for your time. Dr. Amanda Ferguson is an organisational psychologist here on RN Drive, talking about returning to the office and being forced to do things which we used to do, which we may not really want to anymore.